Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you are listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 102.5 WFLA. Now in studio, your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it to discuss the sale of your home. You can call 407-566-2555, or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we've got a lot to talk over today, as usual, and, you know, tips and tricks and keeping your house maintained or getting it ready for sale and different things for buyers and what's going on with the interest rates and all kinds of stuff that we'll talk about today. We always go through the full gamut of everything and all that kind of good stuff, but I think that what we'll start with is the spring home checklist that just kind of goes through some things that you want to do. I mean, I know we're going through the middle of these cold fronts, you know, that in February it was 80 and now it's a little bit chillier in spring when everybody's coming for spring break, but that's okay. We still like it. It's not a problem. And there's these little things that you can do in order to help your home keep in top shape. And I think that's one of the main things that affects your value when you do go to sell it is that you want to make sure that you've got it in good shape and that all those little maintenance items are done. Because when a buyer comes in and they look at it and they see little things that are out of whack or whatever, they wonder about the big things. And so that's where it costs you thousands of dollars. So when you do these little things, it just makes a big difference in what you do. So the first thing is doors and windows. And, you know, and I think that includes also the screens and everything too, because if somebody sees some damaged screens and tears in them, that's the first thing that's an easy fix or whatever. And actually the Florida contract, when you're going to repair, does say that you have to repair all broken screens or all screens with tears in them. But if there are no screens, it doesn't really address it. So I always find that interesting. I think that you either need to take them away or you need to fix them. But regardless, that's one thing. And then the other thing is caulking around the windows, because as time goes on with the sun blazing down on it, there always needs to be that kind of a thing done to it to caulk around the windows. And when you start seeing the cracks around it, again, you know, it's a chance for water to intrude and for people to be concerned about it. So that's one good thing to do with it. And you want to make sure that everything operates properly. We were actually in the process of doing an inspection on a house last week. And one of the things that it had was it was a broken lock on one of the windows, which, you know, you think, oh my gosh, no, there's a big problem. There's a broken lock. Well, you can just go to the hardware store and or order them online for each window. You just unscrew the old one and put it back on. So it's really not a big deal. But at the beginning, you know, it sounds like so much more of a big deal when it comes to that. The next thing when you're looking at the interior is you want to check the attic for water penetration. And everybody should have probably done this by now
with the
hurricane that came through, because there's a lot of people that need new roofs and a lot of people still with blue roofs and all of those kinds of things. But you want to make sure that there isn't any water penetration coming through. Want to look for moisture in ceilings or around any windows is another place to do. Check stairs and railings for loose or damaged parts to see that you can get all that stuff. And then testing smoke alarms, which I think this weekend, aren't we the spring ahead?
Yep.
This weekend. So it is the time to test your smoke alarms. So that you need to change the batteries every 6 months. So they always say to do it at that point in time. And inspect tile for missing grout. Check the caulking around showers, bathtubs, sinks, and toilets, and all those kinds of things. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So we were talking about the spring home checklist. And, you know, so we talked about doors and windows and the interior a little bit. And then the foundation, you want to check and see if there's any deterioration and that kind of thing around there. I mean, checks, it's hard to find sometimes the cracks in the slab because it's kind of covered usually. But, you know, you can go around your house and see if there's anything there. And again, more it's more about water than anything else and all of those kinds of things. On your roofs, again, we should have checked that at the hurricane time, but see if there's any missing, loose, or damaged shingles. And the flashing around all of the different little things that hook up, you know, like for the dryer vents or, you know, those kinds of things to make sure that everything has gotten, you know, is good around there. You want to clean your gutters and downspouts. And then when you're looking at your furnace, I mean, obviously changing your filter regularly. Some of those filters last a month or two, a couple of months. Some of them you change every month. But you just want to make sure that that's all done because that can cause problems and leave marks inside your house that people think you didn't take care of your air conditioner. And so servicing it and removing materials that are around your furnace and air handler. And I think also then just making sure that clean out valve is cleared out too, because, you know, when the moisture starts coming in, it's going to be very busy dripping out of your house all the time. And so and that's one of the things that causes a lot of problems sometimes is the air conditioner backing up with the water that's taken out of the air and not quite making it outside. So that would be the other thing. And then when you're looking at your flooring or the plumbing, you want to make sure that you don't have any leaks anywhere around. Check your water heater, inspect showers, sinks, toilets, and tubs for leaks. And lawn sprinklers is another big place where you find that. And if you have well water, you might want to test it. And then just looking around at the electrical wiring to make sure that everything looks good, testing your circuit breakers and all those kinds of things. Usually on that stuff, you're gonna find out what the deal is with it when you're running into something. And like I woke up one Sunday morning and there was I'm like, oh, this carpet's wet. That seems a little strange. And so, you know, it's like I realized that there I had a one of those water things, you know, to drink it, drink one of those like system filter systems. Okay. And so it started leaking. So it caused problems, you know, that I didn't need to deal with, but I did need to deal with, didn't want to deal with, I guess is what it was. But I was lucky to get to deal with it. So all of those things, anyway, those are just little things that come into play that are generally a home spring checklist. And if you'd like to get it, I mean, we're happy to send it to you. So, you know, you could either, you know, you could just give us a call at 407-566-2555 and we can send it out to you and everything. But, you know, maintaining your house is something that even if you're a renter, you know, I think it's like if you notice those things and you let your landlord know, it's going to make your life a lot easier because little things turn into big things. And that's always the problem that we run into in life. You know, it's like when we don't pay attention to those little things, a lot of times they turn into big things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Plus, with the spring cleaning, you know, they have a lot of different promotions, like you were mentioning with the AC.
Yeah.
You know, you can get them service $59, $69, $79. I mean, I see them all the time in the newspapers. And then the air filters, I sign up for an air filter that's delivered to me. And that's when I know I need to change it. And it helps because in all honesty, I mean, you know, mine is in the attic, so it's not something that I'm looking at constantly.
Right.
So when I get it in the mail, I'm like, oh, great. It's time for me to change it. So it helps when I have that reminder. If not, I mean, you could put it on your calendar or Google Drive or something like that. But it helps with that one. At least it comes every 2 months. It's shipped to me. I don't really remember. And then I'm like, oh, it's time to change it.
Right. And so all of those little things that you can do to make life easier, you know, just kind of helps you out. And, you know, there is maintenance that we have to do consistently and not big things, but little things. And that's what makes the difference. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com. And we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how that works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So I think that we're going to talk about buyers now. And, you know, the interest rate is kind of waffling all over and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's going up. You know, what's happening and all that kind of stuff. And they've been at, the interest rates have been at historic lows for so long that for a long time, probably.
Like at least 3-4 years, right?
Five years? For quite a while. So as a result of that, they're fluctuating a little, but when they fluctuate and they start to go up, they don't go up substantially. And I think that's the important thing for people to know is that it's not a panic mode that, oh my gosh, it's going to go up to 7% by tomorrow if I don't do something today. But it does, it is smart to jump in and do what you want to do, or at least see where you're at and make a plan and all that kind of stuff. And I think that, that what happens as the mortgage rate goes up, then that obviously affects people's affordability or whatever, because most people are not paying cash when they're buying houses. They're actually, you know, getting a loan, and there's, you know, the value of money over time and all that kind of stuff. So you do have a mortgage rate. So we're going to talk about some five first-year mistakes that new homeowners make. And one of the things is that, so this is somewhat when you get in a house, and even if you're a homeowner, this is something that you should be aware of and everything too, because you might not always know. And so what they found first-year homeowners make is that they always go with the lowest bid. And that's not always your best bet to go with the lowest bid. There's comparing apples to apples is something what you need to do, not apples to oranges. And sometimes those lowest bids are not always the best deal. Sometimes there's corners that are cut. You're using not as good materials as you need to use and that kind of thing in order to get it done.
That's true.
And if you paid a little bit more, then you would have a longer lasting repair or whatever it is that you're planning on doing. So you need to look at it. I mean, I guess it's kind of like carpeting. When you look at carpeting that nothing is wrong with it, but if you're looking at carpeting that they put in apartment places, for the most part, are more disposable than carpet that you're going to put in your own home. And that's because a lot of times with apartment places right now, when one person moves out, they change the carpet completely before the next one moves in. So they're not going to use a really high-grade carpet for that because they're only expecting it to last a few years.
Yep.
But if you're going into it into your own home and you're putting new carpet in, you might want to use a higher grade because you're expecting it to last many years. And so that's the difference in kind of what the lowest bid might be and what, you know, you really want to do. The second one is submitting all small insurance claims. And when the insurance for a home is very similar to the insurance for a car. So it's like your auto insurance is based somewhat on how well you drive. Like if you get a lot of tickets or if you get accidents and that kind of thing, then obviously your insurance rate is higher. And what's happened is that the housing insurance people, that they keep records now like the auto insurance does. And so if there are a lot of claims on a house, it gets a bad reputation and the insurance rates go up. And that really is something that, you know, when you're actually looking at buying a house, that you have to consider as well. Because if there have been a lot of insurance claims on it, it's very difficult to get insurance, or it's very difficult to get reasonable insurance. And so you have to be concerned about that when you're looking at it. So you don't want to be turning in, you know, it's like, I don't know what it would be that would be, it's like right at your deductible or something that they're going to be doing. I mean, it's like the neighbor threw a ball through the window and broke it or something, you know, with a bat or whatever. So you don't want to, you know, be calling that into your insurance, you know, every day that somebody does that. So it's like those little things, the big things, obviously, you know, and the things that if you've got a big water leak and something happened with that, then obviously that's the kind of thing that you need to do. Fires, you know, it's like what you have insurance for, but not the the little pinprick type of deal. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So the next thing that is on our list is failing to consider the return on investment on home remodeling improvements. And this is something that we talk about a lot of times, you know, what your return on investment is on doing remodeling. And what you have to really look at is how long you're going to stay in the home. Because I'm a big believer of when you get in your home and if you want to fix it up because you want to fix it up for you, I think that's great. But sometimes people will go, okay, I want to sell my house, and so I'm going to remodel the kitchen and, you know, completely do that 100% and spend, you know, $50,000-$60,000, and the amount that it's going to make on the resale of your home is like $2,000, and they go, what the heck, you know? And so you really have to look at that. And it's like in a luxury home, it's a whole different deal mm-hmm. than it is in most of the neighborhoods in Central Florida, because the bottom line is that because Central Florida really has grown up in the last few years, a lot of the homes are all in developments. There were maybe 10, 20 floor plans that are in that particular neighborhood. And so you're going to be compared when the lenders come in to look at it at those other floor plans that are just like yours. So if everybody in the neighborhood has got Formica and you put in granite and whole new countertop and whole new cabinets and all that kind of good stuff, you're not going to get any more money necessarily out of your house. I mean, it might be a very minimal amount, but it's not going to be a great amount. And you might have your house chosen above everybody else's house, and so it'll sell faster, but it's not necessarily going to put more money in your pocket. And not even as much money as you put into it to go into your pocket. So that's something that you definitely have to consider when you're looking at that. So you have to look at the improvements from a standpoint of what they're going to do for you. Mm-hmm. And if you are looking at selling your home, then, you know, and you want to know if you should do this before you put it on the market, we're more than happy to go over the numbers with you and let you know and whatever that might be to make sure that you've got the right things that you want to do. The next mistake that new homeowners make is that they toss receipts and paperwork. And you do need to keep your records because you can use them for different write-offs. Yeah. And you can have, you know, it's like when you go to sell your home and you have had a gain on it because the market went up and you have expenses that you spent on your home, that actually increases the amount of what you originally paid for it. So you pay less to the government. So it only makes sense to keep track of what you've done and all of those kinds of things and keeping track of it. And for example, you know, you don't want to toss the deed to your house. I mean, it is recorded by the county and everything, and it is replaceable in essence, but that's not something that you necessarily want to toss. And if you do sell your house within 3 years of when you first purchased it, many times you get a credit on the title insurance that you bought earlier, you know, that when you sold it. And so you do need to have that so you can give it to the new title company that's going to do it, so they give you a cheaper rate on the title insurance. So there are reasons to keep all those things, and so it just makes sense to do that. The next one is to ignore minor items, which you kind of talked about at the beginning. So in order to get in touch with us, call us at 407-566-2555. Or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we're going to talk about now of should I buy a house as I'm switching jobs? And, you know, this is something that you don't realize the impact that little things that you do or things that you think are good things that you're doing can impact the decisions that you're going to make like a month later. And so if you are considering buying a house, the best thing, one of the things that lenders look for is they look for consistency in employment mm-hmm. and everything that you're doing in that realm. So you definitely want to make sure before you switch a job, if that's what you're going to do and you want to buy a house, the best thing to do is to talk to a lender before you do that to make sure that you're not making a mistake when you do that. Because, you know, sometimes when you're going into the same work, it's not a problem. But other times, even staying in the same job, in the same type of job, can be a problem. So you don't want to create headaches for yourself that you don't have to have. So the best thing to do is check before you do it, because it's not something that you usually do every day is buying a home. So loan approvals continue until closing. So the worst thing you could probably do is go into a loan and then switch jobs. That's not really a good thing to do at all, because what has to happen generally is that the lender has to get a paycheck, a copy of a paycheck mm-hmm. from where you work now, the new place that you work. And if there's not enough time that you're going to get a paycheck before the closing is supposed to happen, that can be a really big problem for you. And yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say it can delay the closing. Maybe the sellers are on a time crunch, so it's going to put them in a bind.
Yeah.
You may not qualify because the lender does want to see usually 2 to 3 pay stubs. Sometimes they require a month long of pay stubs.
Right.
You know, when you're switching jobs. So again, that could just put a wrench in the cycle. So.
And they do call and verify that you're still working there the day of or the day before closing. I mean, it is right before. So when you put on your application that you're working at XYZ company and they call XYZ company the day before closing and, oh, she no longer works here. I mean, that is kind of a red flag and puts everybody into tilt. And, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do now? So that's one of the things that they want to do. And the next thing things that you have to consider is sometimes it might not have an impact, like you said, like if you are in the same industry, they're going to review your materials and it's not likely to stop a loan, but it could put a wrench into it and mm-hmm. make you scramble like we talked to. Does it have a negative impact? Yes. I think with lower pay, that would definitely have a negative impact. I mean, when you do get a loan, it's based on the ratios that you have, and the ratios are how much you make based on your home payment. But not only that, then it also goes into the amount of money that you have, the overall debt, and what you have to pay in regards to that. So there's a lot of things to consider when you look at, you know, switching jobs midstream. And it's usually the closing process is, you know, 30 to 45 days. So it probably doesn't hurt to hang on. Now, there are situations where obviously, you know, we've had people lose their jobs in the middle of mm-hmm. a transaction, and that's never fun. So it wasn't their choice that they were going to be doing that. And we've had some people that were able to jump right back on the bandwagon and get a job another the one. Next day and then maybe delay the closing, you know, a couple of days or something like that. But the thing that you do have to realize is that a lot of homes that you're buying as a buyer are actually occupied by an owner right now that's going to be going somewhere else. So when closings are delayed or you're delayed on a closing, it does not just affect you. It affects a lot of other people. And sometimes the train can be going, you know, multiple transactions back, like the seller that the house you're buying is going to be buying another house.
Mm-hmm.
And the seller of that house is buying another house. And so when they set it all up, it's kind of like a well-scripted orchestra going boom, 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 or like the dominoes going down. And it's definitely the dominoes going down when the person at the one house isn't able to close on time. And then it causes so many problems down the track that some people get derailed and actually can never recover. And that seller doesn't necessarily have to continue to sell it to you if you can't perform, you know, for
on your end.
So you want to make sure that you definitely, you know, are vigilant about that. And that also comes into, I mean, it's kind of off topic a little bit, but it comes into when you are working with a lender that you definitely have to get them whatever they're requesting as soon as possible. Because if you don't, then it just delays things and starts that domino effect that we really don't want to see.
Nope.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. One thing that you do need to know is that, like we kind of mentioned, but lenders get nervous when salaries shift. So when the salary structure changes at a job or something, they wonder, okay, what's going on? And is this just the tip of the iceberg or is it the end of it? But, you know, in today's lending environment, you know, it definitely is what one person explained to me, you know, a long time ago is like back in the day, back in like 2004 or five and all that kind of stuff, when we started to have our creating of some of our problems that caused our great fall, as I call it. But basically, they explained to me that the lender packages at that point were like a quarter of an inch thick. And now the lender packages are like 2 inches thick or whatever. And so, you know, it's like you could just say, hey, I make X amount of money and, you know, they would kind of give you a loan. But today, that's not what the case is. So employment is very, very important when you're getting a loan. And any kind of a shift in that causes some kind of a red flag. And so it might not stop you from getting a loan, but it does cause 5 other people to look at it and 5 more pieces of documentation that you need to have. And so it's just not worth dealing with is kind of what the bottom line is. So, you know, you want to consider the possible drawbacks of switching jobs while house hunting. Again, like I said, if you do want to switch jobs and you want to do that, your best bet is to wait until after you've gotten into your house and everything's all done and you don't have to worry about it. And the same comes down to if you're going to buy a car or if you're going to get appliances or new furniture, or any of those kinds of things that go along with it. You definitely don't want to jump before you have to on those things because all of that stuff affects your credit, and credit and jobs are two crucial things when you're getting a loan
for the house.
And you definitely, you know, want to do it. And it's not like recovering, like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. No, that's not what happens. you know, so it's like there are certain rules and certain things that you need to do when it comes to it, but the reward is definitely worth what you go through to get it done.
Exactly. And plus, too, a good thing also, like if you are planning on, you know, getting a new cell phone or, you know, some, your lease is up on your car in the same midst of buying a home, you know, you definitely want to check with the lender before you do any of that because they can run the numbers, you know, behind the scenes before we have to get into any red tape.
Yeah.
And that, again, is another thing that can, you know, they can call us, they can call their, you know, their lender and talk to them and kind of pick their brain a little bit, because that happened in a situation where their lease was up, their car, they had to trade in their car, they got a brand new spanking car, but thank goodness the car payment was like $20 less than what they were paying currently, so it didn't change anything. But
well, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So one of the things that I found interesting this week is that there was something that came out about who's buying Florida real estate. And that because, you know, we often talk about those sellers out there that think that their house is worth maybe 50, 100, you know, more than the market is willing to pay for it. And they think that somebody's going to come in from out of the area and that they're going to just go ahead and pay that. Well, if they're getting a loan, they're not going to be able to do that, first of all, no matter how much they want to. But if they have cash, generally they're smart and because they do have cash, and they generally don't do that either because they know how to evaluate the market and what they want to do. But there are a lot of foreign people from foreign countries that do come in and spend money in Florida. And so it changes, I think it changes with a couple of things. I mean, one thing that it changes with is obviously the value of the dollar and the value of the currency wherever they're coming from. And so, for example, one of the things is the Canadian market for many years has been down in Central Florida. And the reason is because the U.S. dollar has been so strong, and so the Canadian dollar has been pretty weak. Mm. And so their spending power has been significantly reduced. So now the Canadian dollar has started to go up, and so all of those people in Canada that were thinking, hey, I'd like to buy a house in Florida are now considering it again because the exchange rate has changed. So the other thing that you look at is the people from Britain were also very big buyers in the Central Florida market, and they're not as big now. They're starting to come back again, but and the Chinese are number one, you know, nationwide as far as who come in and buy that. So there's always going to be, you know, in the 80s, for example, it was the Japanese that were buying the biggest portion of everything. And now they make up only 2% of the property purchases. So it's just to know that, you know, we continue to expand and there's a lot of things that depend on it. I mean, there's certain countries that you can only get so much cash out of that country, you know, to put into an investment in America. And so there's those restrictions that exist and that kind of thing, too, that can change all the time. So they're, but foreign buyers are increasingly interested in U.S.-based real estate. And, you know, it's good for us in many ways. And, you know, it's one of, but if you're going for that first-time buyer house and they're coming in with cash, it's not a good situation for you. but you're dealing with any investor when that happens, you know, whether they're foreign or whether they're from the U.S. and like we talked about last week, Orlando is cited as being one of the number one places in the country for investors right now because of the growth and everything that they expect and that is happening in mm-hmm. Central Florida. So that just means that the job situation is good, which is great. And that's what the number one thing that real estate kind of goes around on. But the growth rate is expected in Central Florida to be huge. And that's just a good thing for all of us so that the economy keeps on, you know, ticking and going and all that kind of good stuff. But when you are a first-time home buyer, it does take quite a bit of skill to actually get you the house that you want because you are competing against people with cash is yeah. basically what it comes down to. And so, you know, when there's two offers sitting on the table and one of them is cash and one of them is, you know, a family that's going to get financing. I mean, the way that's presented, it determines a lot of times if you're going to get that house or not. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. But we have certain things that we do to try to, you know, sell you as the buyer as opposed to selling the person with cash. Just so, you know, it's like buying and selling a house is really an emotional deal when it comes down to it. And people think that it's very businesslike, but it's very emotional. So what happens is that if somebody has that as their home and it's been their home for years and they've raised their family in it, and then you have another family that comes in that's going to be able to raise their family in it, a lot of times the seller would rather have that person come in that's going to love their home the same way that they did. Mm-hmm. As opposed to an investor. And so, you know, conveying that, though, to the seller in such a way that they get it and that they do make that decision and not just walk down the path of, I know I'm going to get out of here, you know, right away, and I don't have to worry about them getting approved for a loan. So there's certain things that we can do in the loan approval process to make sure that we can assure the sellers, number one, that the loan is going to go through. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, you know, just make sure that they know how their house is going to be cared for afterward, which is really a big deal for people. Because again, it was that they have so many memories and so many things that are tied to that home. If it's an investor selling that home, like a bank or an investor, well, then cash is probably going to win, is basically what happens. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So, you know, it's like we talked that, you know, I just said that the investor is going to get it in that situation. But there are times when, you know, it is an investor that will have mercy or whatever on the family, especially if it's more money that they're going to get, you know, from the family than they're going to get from the cash buyer. So we have had situations where that has happened when they have other offers. But one of the other things that's really critical to do is that I think we do a good job of is finding the houses for the people. So, you know, it's like if we can get in there before and get our offer accepted before there's even any cash offers, then that also makes a big difference as well. And that's where you have to be really proactive in searching and looking and making sure and kind of have a heartbeat on what's going on in the market to make sure that we can find those hard to find properties that, you know, everybody else might not be quite looking at yet to make sure. Now, it's not a matter of days where you have to take care of this. Sometimes it's hours, but you do have to be proactive like that in order to get the house. And, you know, we are successful in getting the house. And sometimes, you know, people won't get the house because they want to lowball it with financing. And, you know, but sometimes that's just a learning curve. You have to go through that to understand, you know, what it is. I mean, we're going to guide you through it, but, you know, it's your money, it's your house, it's all of those things. So you have to make sure that it's the right fit for you and your family and everything. And so when it comes down to that, you know, there's different situations and that come into play when you're putting in an offer on a property. And we will find many times that the first time out and somebody's putting in an offer, they think they can get it for way below what the value is, and that's just going to fly. But many times that doesn't fly. And so they do have to, they might lose the first time, but then the second time they're much wiser. But we can avoid that headache if you want to listen to us the first time. But we understand that everybody doesn't want to do that the first time necessarily.
Yeah. Well, they always say a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So they got to try something. Yeah. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, now they're more proactive.
Right.
And, you know, going after and making a more beneficial or real offer, I guess you could say.
Well, it does come down to that. I mean, the market is what it is. I mean, it's like we'd all like the market to be something different. But it is what it is. I mean, we cannot change the market, but what we can do is we can operate optimally within it. And that's what it comes down to, is that operating optimally within it to find the best deal, you know, for the people in that neighborhood that you want to be in, you know, that's the best answer for you and your family. And so that's what it's all about. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Have a great one.